Here, and even this morning with those of you, I feel like I'm a young preacher again, back out preaching back out at the York County Chain Gang. We used to call it the Chain Gang back then because it really was. And now they call it Detention Center, the Detention Center. I call it the York County Hotel. But I'd go out there and I'd go in that old metal roof building and roll that portable pulpit out there, and I was just a young preacher in my 20s, and I didn't know anybody to ask could I preach, and nobody knew me that they could ask me. So anywhere I'd get to preach, I'd go preach, and I'd go back there in those cells, and it was divided up on one side to state prisoners, the other side was divided up into county prisoners, and I grew up pretty rough, and I was just 20-something years old, you know, 25, 26 years old. But I kind of felt intimidated with all those hardened criminals, you know. And I'd go back there and invite them. And sometimes one would come or two or three would come. And sometimes people would get saved. I still see a couple that got saved at the Chain Gang. Now, I'll see them every once in a while. And several of them have come to church over the years. But boy, that's where I feel, all those seats in there, we'd have all those seats out and one or two, three or four people would be sitting there. And I'd preach like there was 1,000. I just preached my heart out. And anywhere they'd let me preach, the Army Reserve and National Guard and nursing homes, anywhere they'd let me preach, I'd get up and preach, boy. And this kind of reminds me of that because I also had to sing. And I was just now learning the hymns. I hadn't been saved that long myself. I was just learning the hymns, and I thought, man, I'm making a mess out of this. I went back and told my pastor I'm making a mess out there at the Chain Gang trying to sing. I don't know how to do that. He said, well, the good thing is, brother, those are prisoners. They don't know how either. If they knew all the hymns and knew the whole Bible, they wouldn't be in jail. So go ahead and sing your heart out. They don't know when you mess up. Amen. So that's kind of the way it feels in here. All right, you got Romans chapter 1 by now. I'm sure you do. Romans chapter 1. And if you can, read with me if you have your Bible. Let's start with verse 15 in Romans chapter 1. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now this morning I preached on the resurrection. I talked about the power of God that it took to raise that body of Jesus, that he did it himself by his own power. And I talked about the power of God, how it takes that same power to resurrect a dead soul and spirit and make a new creature in Christ out of a sinful human being. And I talked about that same power that it will take to raise us up from the dead and to make us immortal and eternal beings like he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But tonight I want to talk to you about the power, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, what saves a person is the gospel. The gospel. Preaching, teaching of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul told us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, I came unto you and I preached the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I kept trying to throw the other in there. But it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that's what God, puts his power in, that preaching. That's why God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now, if it's the power of God, if the gospel is the power of God, the Apostle Paul said, wilt not be ashamed of it. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's his sinless life, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his vicarious atonement, his bodily resurrection, and now ascended and sitting on the right hand of high. Now, listen to this. That's the whole gospel. There's none other gospel. That's the only gospel. But it's a powerful thing. It's the power of that that saves a person. So let me ask you a question. Why do we apologize for that? You don't have to apologize for the gospel. Now, you think in the time that we're in right now, you would think with all the religious talk that's going on, I don't know if you've been watching any news today or yesterday, and it'll go on. But it seems like America's pastor is now the Pope. And he preaches another gospel. His gospel says you must be born into, baptized into, taught into, confessed into, and allowed to stay in and die in the Catholic Church to be saved. Well, that's not the gospel. That's another gospel. And it seems like he's now America's pastor. And everybody hangs on his last word. And now, it seems like everybody has got all these real good feelings and real good teachings and preachings about the coronavirus and how God's doing this and God's doing that and God's comforting these and God's doing this with these. Let me tell you something. Those same people, all that crowd that's talking this way, accuse us of being fanatics because we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. There is no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And it seems like even Baptists, I'm Baptist. I was saved in a Baptist church. I went to the public library and looked up the books on all the denominations. I studied the denominations, who started them, why they were named Methodist, why they were named Presbyterian. And it got to all those denominations that were started by a man. And my wife asked the question today, all these Southern Baptists now, their seminaries and stuff are teaching that we're Protestant. And my wife said, well, somebody needs to ask them. If we're Protestant, who started our church? Who started the Baptist church? If we're Protestant, Wesley started the Methodist movement. John Calvin and Zwingli started the Presbyterian movement. Luther started the Lutheran movement, and it goes on and on and on. And the question is, all those people were Protestants. They were protesting against the Catholic Church and its teachings. And let me ask you something. If you're protesting against something, and the thing you're protesting gets it straightened out and stops it, that means you'll go back into it, doesn't it? But Baptists have never been Protestant. Who started the church? Jesus Christ did. He said, on this I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What was he talking about? The statement that Peter made. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No other man started that but Jesus himself and the Baptist. Now, that not always been called Baptist, but people like us have been ever since the first century, and we've never been ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That it's the power of God unto salvation. And you don't have to add anything to it. You don't have to add baby baptism to it. You don't have to add adult baptism to it. You don't have to dunk somebody three times and make sure they got baptized. You don't have to pour it on them, make sure it's like the Holy Spirit. You don't have to sprinkle them. Look, we add nothing to the gospel except faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that's the gospel. Now, why would I apologize for that, even in these days? And people say, well, Pastor, we just want to get along with everybody. Everybody's being real sweet right now. Yeah, they are. But as soon as this thing's over, they'll start attacking us fundamentalists again. We don't apologize for what we believe. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Paul was not ashamed of what the gospel had done for him. He wasn't ashamed of the change that it made in his life. He wasn't ashamed of how it had made him have love in his life. He wasn't ashamed of the Lord that put in his life. And he wasn't ashamed of the loyalty that it gave to him in his heart. And he was not ashamed because of the gospel of the labor that he labored in his new life. You don't have to apologize. And I want to tell you just a couple of things what we don't have to apologize for, okay? Number one, you don't have to apologize for being an old-fashioned Bible believer. You don't have to apologize for belonging to an old-fashioned fundamental. That's the basics. You got fundamental math, fundamental English. Doesn't work right if you don't do it that way. And there's fundamental Christianity. And I'm not ashamed of being a fundamental Baptist. I'm not ashamed of it. And I've been accused of handling snakes to everything else. But I'll tell you this. I'm not ashamed of the church that God has put me in. I thank God I was not born and raised in some kind of church that taught me just because I got sprinkled I was all right, or just because some priest put his hand on my head, or some preacher, pastor put his hand on my head and said a prayer that I was going to heaven. I'm glad that I belong to a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ and faith in him alone to get to heaven. I'm not ashamed of that, and I'm not apologizing for that. And right now, everybody, you know, we're just Christians. Let's just get along. You know, we're all Christians. Well, everybody that names the name of Christ is not a Christian. Jesus said that. Now, you don't have to be ashamed of this church. You don't have to be ashamed of the message of this church. People's gotten mad and called us prejudice and racist and all this stuff. No, sir. They don't know us if they say that. The message of this church is the love of God through Christ Jesus. And he said, how can you love God and you don't love your neighbor? We love everybody. Ain't nobody we hate. I don't preach hate. I don't preach we ought to hate anybody. I preach we ought to hate some sin, but not the sinner. The grace of God will cover any sinner that will repent and come to Christ just like you and I did. And I'm not ashamed of that message. But Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and verse 5, right there, two verses at the same time almost, he said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In other words, you got to turn away from what you think, and you got to turn to him, being willing to leave all and follow him. And that's what he told every disciple that ever followed him. I'm not ashamed of that message. You don't have to be ashamed of it. That's the fundamentals of the faith. These are the things that our ancestors died for, burned at the stake for, nailed on crosses for, ripped in two by two different horses going in two different directions, watched their children drown for these things. I'm not going to be ashamed of the fundamentals of the Word of God. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be ashamed. Look, I'm not going to be ashamed. The Word of God is truth without error. I'm not ashamed of that. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no other way to get faith. You don't get faith by visions or dreams or funny feelings or good feelings or bad feelings. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And then he saves to the uttermost everyone that calls on him. And not only that, but he keeps them. He said, now in him that's able to keep thee. That's the fundamentals. I'm not apologizing for that. Look, you don't have to be ashamed of the message of this church. You don't have to be ashamed of the master of this church. He builds the church and he blesses it. This church wouldn't even be here without him. He's the one that built this church. He's the one that founded it. He's the one that's built it up. Everybody that's ever been saved here was saved by his grace. Everyone that's here now, still members of this church have been saved by his grace. He builds the church. We don't do that. And then because of that, you don't have to apologize for being an old-fashioned Christian yourself. You don't have to apologize for believing in your being justified. It goes like this. Just as if I'd never sinned. You don't have to be ashamed of being justified by faith in Christ. Well, somebody said, well, you don't look too much like Christian to me. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but let me tell you something. I'm not justified by the way you think. Oh, look, I'm justified by him and what he's done, not what I do. And then you don't have to be ashamed by believing in your being sanctified. Now that's a word you hardly ever hear anymore. Pentecostals throw it around sometimes, but sanctification is not a second work of grace. God chose you, he called you, he saved you, and then he set you apart. He took you out of the family of the world and put you into the family of God. He took you out of your own will and put you in his will. He put you in the church. He put you in any position he ever put you in. And you're set apart for his service so he might get the glory from justifying you. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You don't apologize for that. People say, well, you think you're better than anybody else. No, but I think God has set me apart to use me for his glory. And he's not going to do that unless you accept him as your Savior. I believe that. We don't have to apologize for one day being glorified. You know, they make fun of us and say, you just believe in pie in the sky. No, it's a whole lot better than pie. One day, he's going to take this vile body, if it's in the grave, he's going to raise up that old rotten flesh and make it into a new flesh, and he's going to bring it up out of that grave and reunite it with my soul and spirit, which is in heaven because I died a believer. Or the trumpet will sound, and he'll take this old corrupt live body, and he'll change it in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He'll glorify this body to be just like the body of his son, Jesus Christ. He'll give me new flesh and a new body and everything. And it'll be eternal and immortal body, and it'll never die. And I don't have to apologize for that. God's doing that. I'm not the one doing that. And when you talk about going to heaven, and you're talking about being glorified is what you're talking about. You may not use that word. People make fun of you. They make fun of you. Well, let them make fun of you. Let them make fun of you. You don't have to be ashamed. You ain't got to apologize for that. You don't have to be, you don't have to be ashamed of your joy. We're supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And sinners will laugh and mock us because we have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And they mock us and make fun of us because we can have joy in the hospital room or even down there at the mortuary. We can have the joy of the Lord when we're going through hard times, sick times, bad times, or good times. We've got the joy of the Lord. You think of all places you'd see that at church, wouldn't you? I got a feeling when the doors open back up and we start having regular services again, you're going to see some joy and hear some joy. Amen? We don't have to apologize for that. Sometimes the old flesh will get on me, you know, and we'll have a visitor at church and they might look a little distinguished, you know, a little distinguished. And they'll come in and Sister So-and-so will start shouting. Or Brother So-and-so will start singing the way he sings. And somebody will start saying, amen, praise God, hallelujah. And we got one that whistles. Every once in a while you hear one of them say, hot dog. And the old devil will say, that crowd ain't never come back to your church. I said, well, I'm not apologizing for what God does in their heart. I'm not apologizing for the joy he put down in their heart. I'm not going to tell them to stop doing that. I'm not going to do it. And if you come here, I'll tell you not to stop them either. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt you to identify yourself if somebody's got a little joy in you too. So I said, we don't have to apologize for being old-fashioned Christians. We don't have to apologize for belonging to an old-fashioned Baptist church with the message and from the master. And we don't have to, excuse me, for believing in biblical conversion. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, you know, it's gotten to the point now where anybody that walks in a church, they're ready to sign them up. They were ready to sign them up, especially if they looked like they got a little money. They were ready to sign them up. And I've had Baptist preachers ask me, said, what do you require for somebody to join your church? I said, we require that they get born again and then get baptized to be a member. And then I've had some tell me, well, we require them to tithe first because if they're not going to be faithful at their tithe, then they're not going to be a good church member. And if you're saved, you ought to want to tithe. I said, well, I haven't found those verses in the Bible yet. I just can't find that. The only qualification to belong to a New Testament Bible-believing church is to have a biblical conversion. And this is what that means. You once were lost, now you're found. You once were what was a child of the devil, now you're a child of God, because you one day you turned from your sin, you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you asked Him to forgive you, and He accepted you into His family, and He gave you a new heart, new spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's a biblical conversion. But some people will skip right over that and get them to sign a card just because they look like they got a little money and they look like they got a position in society. They can go out there and live any way they want to and talk any way they want to, and nobody cares. And I can, me and you can look at them and say, man, I don't think they're even saved. So, we don't have to be ashamed for believing in a biblical conversion. If you're going to heaven, you must be born again. You must be. Jesus said that in John 3. There's no way to get around the new birth. Not one. Not one. You must be born again. Sometimes we'll have people come to church here and they'll start coming and they'll like it, you know, and they'll come talk to me and they'll say, Pastor, how can I join church? I said, well, the most important thing is you must be saved. Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven because you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, turning from sin, turning to the Savior, and being born again? Can you tell me a time when you were born again, and you may not remember it all, but you remember when you called on the Lord and He gave you a new heart, new mind, new spirit? And it surprised you how many don't know that. It surprised you. And they'll keep coming to church, and I hope they keep coming until they get saved. But we shouldn't have to apologize for believing a biblical conversion. We shouldn't apologize for believing in a burning hell. That's right, a burning hell. You don't believe that? Go read Luke 16. I'll tell you what, read all through your Bible. There's more about hell in the Bible than there is heaven. There is a burning hell to shun. And you must be born again and get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life in order to miss hell. And you get talking to people about that, and I'm talking about church people, and they get mad at you. I've walked in hospital rooms and people's houses to see someone on their deathbed. And one of their relatives will run interference and say, Pastor, we're glad you're here. All we want you to do is go in there and say a prayer for Lord have mercy on them or heal them or something. And I always say, well, I come here to talk about the Lord first, then I'll pray. But I want to talk to them about their spiritual condition. They're fixing to die. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. I had one daughter and her daughter, a daughter and a granddaughter. I went to a lady's house one night. People called me and told me she was going to pass away that night. And it must have been about 11:30, maybe later than that. And I walked in the house, there was a younger lady and a young lady, and they were just so glad I was there to pray. And I said, well, I want to talk to her about getting ready to die. And the daughter looked at me and said, no, we're not talking about that. We don't want to talk about nothing like that. And I said, well, that's what I do. I'm pastor. I want to make sure she's going to heaven. No, we're not talking about dying. Now, the only reason I could think that you didn't want to talk about dying or you didn't want your loved one to talk about dying is because you were not sure they were going to heaven in the first place. And wouldn't that not be the good time to do it? And we're not going to be ashamed at this church, and I'm not going to be ashamed myself, of believing in a burning hell, because if there's a just God in heaven and he made heaven, he must make hell to be just. God's not some big grandpa where one day he's going to look down there like I would with my grandkids and say, why don't you all just come on in? No, sir. No, sir. He's holy. He's thrice holy. And he's just. And he's severe. And let me tell you something. You won't get to heaven. You'll die and go to hell. And I wouldn't go to a church that didn't believe in the eternal burning hell. And I wouldn't hang around with Christians, especially preachers, that do not teach that and preach that, and they deny it or they want to shun it off or something, I'd be suspicious of them. You don't have to apologize for that. And they'll call you a Bible thumper and everything else. I know, I've been called it all. And then look here, we ought not be ashamed or think we got to apologize for believing that we have a blessed book. We've got a blessed book. This is the most blessed book on planet Earth. Now, I read a lot. Sometimes I'll read books over and over and over. I love to read. I love history. I love to read. And I've read books that move my mind, and they move my heart, and they move my thinking. But I've never read a book blessed by God with the touch of God on it that moved my soul. And I'm not apologizing for the Bible doing that. I'm not going to get up here and read you a quarter of a verse and then preach 15 minutes on it and make you feel good. There's a lot of things in here that don't feel good, and there's a lot of things in here that do feel good. And look, it's a blessed book. I can read that to the guys out there at jail and they can find hope. I can read that to the woman laying up there in deathbed in the hospital and she can receive hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can read it to these sick people that's suffering with sickness and they can find hope in healing. God bless this book. I'm not apologizing for this book. I don't have to. God will defend his word. I don't have to do it. All I gotta do is believe it and preach it. We'll not be apologizing for that. And by the way, that's the first attack that Satan does, is attack the Bible. Because you see, if he can get you to lose confidence that the Word of God is inerrant, meaning having no error, and that it is inspired, if he can get you to doubt its inspiration, which means it's God-breathed. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If he can get you to doubt that, then why even read it? I'm not apologizing for the Bible. And I'm not apologizing for the English Bible, the King James Bible. I'm not doing that. That's the one that the Lord used to save me. That's the one I've read all these years. I've studied all those other translations. I've studied where they came from, which most people don't. Even preachers don't do it, and pastors don't do it. I know where they all came from, and I know where this one came from. And this one is divinely inspired and preserved for the English-speaking people. And I believe that, and I'm not going to apologize for that. And we've had good people come to this church that weren't taught that. And some of them changed and began to believe that after they heard it. And then others got mad and left. They just didn't come back, or they endured it. But I'm not apologizing. I'm not going to never will I apologize for the blessed book. And then I'm not going to apologize for the power of blood. There's power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. That blood can be applied to any sinner on planet Earth, and it will transform that sinner into a saint instantly. They're looking for a cure for this virus. They want somebody to give them a shot, you're well. Or give them a shot, you won't get it. Well, I've got a shot for you, and it's full of the blood of Jesus Christ. You get inoculated by that, and the old devil can't handle you no more. He won't have any ownership on you, and you'll be delivered from the power of darkness. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that does that. The wickedest sinner in town, if he'll believe on that shed blood of Jesus Christ, he or she can be saved and gloriously changed. And then last but not least, I'm not going to apologize for the blessed hope. We've got a blessed hope. One day the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Now, you listen to me. He said, comfort one another with these words. Now, how are we going to comfort anybody with those words if we're ashamed to say them? How are we going to help people be saved and comforted if we're too big a coward to talk about it? He's coming back. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Those that's been saved. We are that are alive remain. We're going to be changed and taken out of here. And to a lost man, that sounds crazy. To a lost woman, that sounds like fanaticism. But it's the Word of God, and I'm not apologizing for it. I'm looking forward to it. I wish it happened tonight. Boy, wouldn't it be something in the middle of my next sentence? Nope. Amen. Glory to God. Now, here's what we need to do. Here's my whole point. We ought to, after all this is over, we ought to commit tonight to stop apologizing and start evangelizing. Well, to stop apologizing, look, we want everybody to like us. I don't like people to dislike me. It hurts my feelings when people leave the church mad at me. Always has. I don't like it when people don't like me. I want people to like me. That's our nature. Most of us won't want it that way. But let me tell you something. We'll stop apologizing and start evangelizing those people instead of apologizing to them. Now, through the years, I had to work jobs and pastor churches too, and work jobs and be youth pastor and all this stuff, you know. And everywhere I went, other young men would attack me for what I believed. And I'd stand. And I hardly ever had a good friend anywhere I worked after I got saved. I had a lot of people that mocked me and made fun of me and called me names and all that. But you know what I did? I just kept on witnessing to them anyway. And you think it's not going to do any good, but I'll never forget there was one, his name was Catfish. He had a head like a catfish. They nicknamed him Catfish. And I'll never forget, I worked construction at Duke Power out here and worked on a crew. There was about 20 of us on the crew, and all of them made fun of me and all of them called me names, and they didn't know nothing about me. I could have got friends to come. I better not say that. But all these guys would make fun of me and mock me, and Catfish was one of the worst ones. Wicked. But I'll never forget, they didn't walk with me. When we'd go from one spot to another out there to work, they'd walk ahead of me so they could tell dirty jokes and all that stuff, and I'd stay back there by myself and just mind my own business and walk to the work site, you know. And never forget, one day they're up there telling jokes, you know, as we're walking along, and Catfish just starts falling back. He's just falling back, and they get falling and falling ahead of him. Then he stops, he starts walking beside me. He said, "Ron, you strike me as a praying man." I said, "Well, I try to pray. I probably don't pray enough, but I pray, yeah." He said, "Would you pray for me?" And I thought the boy would fix and get saved. I said, "Well, what do you want me to pray for?" He said, "I want you to pray for me to get a job out there as a lineman and get out of this construction part where I can get out there on those lines and work on the lines," which would have been a whole lot easier. And I was only, 25, 26, I guess. Maybe not even that. Yeah, it wasn't that old. 25. And so I'll never forget. I felt inspired. I looked at him. I said, "I'm not going to do that." He said, "What? I thought you was a Christian. You'd pray for me." I said, "Yeah, but I'm not praying that one." He said, "Why not?" I said, "I think it'd be against God's will." He said, "What do you mean against God's will?" I said, "I think it's God's will to be right where you are right now. And he's trying to talk to you because of where he's got you, and he's got you under a little pressure and a little stress, and he's starting to talk to you, and you want to get out of it, but I'm not praying for that. I'm going to pray God to pour more on it until you turn to him and ask him to save you." He took off, got back with the other crowd. But I could have prayed that prayer right there with him. He wanted me to pray and been thought of as a nice guy. He probably would have spread the news all through that crowd that I would pray for their sinful desires and everything else. But you know what I needed to do? I didn't need to apologize to him for what I was. I needed to evangelize him to make him what I was. And that's what we need to do. We need to quit apologizing and stand for the truth and evangelize, not apologize. We need to stand up and sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I was going to sing, but I see I've really run out of time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray if there's one watching us tonight that's not saved, that they understand, God, that we're not apologizing for what we believe, not because we're mean, but because we want them to see the truth in us, the hope of glory. And God, we're not apologizing because we don't want you to be ashamed of us when we stand before you at the judgment seat of Christ. And God, it's time we start taking a stand for the old time way of the Word of God, the way of God, the things of God, the people of God, the place of God. And God, we take a stand for it, but letting people know that we are different because God loved us when we were just like them. And that we'll tell them the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Help us do that, Lord. Lord, when this stuff's over, help us do that again. And then, Lord, in the meantime, I pray you'd lay it on some of these folks' hearts to send some cards out to people that they love and they know they're lost. And if they don't have a gospel tract, they just write their testimony in there and ask those people if they've ever been saved and to call them if they needed to pray with them. Lord, help us to evangelize, not apologize. Lord, I hope when all this is over, people will appreciate you so much, those that claim the name of Christ, that they'll start standing again and stop bowing to this old world, world religion and things of the world, and they'll follow Jesus. Help me to be a better soul winner, Lord. Help me to be a better soul winner. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to tell you what to do this week. I know some, I probably lost some of you by now. But this week, I want you to sit down, write out your testimony, write on a piece of paper, and then I want you to get on your Facebook page, and I want you to type it on that Facebook page. And make sure it's cleaned up and fixed up. It's got periods everywhere. It ought to have periods and commas and whatever. Make sure it looks good. And then I want you to post it, and I want you to put it at the top of it, my testimony of my salvation. Put it on your Facebook page. And then once you do that, go down there at the bottom on the right-hand side. There's a share button. I want you to press that share button, and you get to pick out what to do with that. And you put click messages, and it'll take you over to your messenger. And you start sending it to all those friends. And that's going to be witnessing. You'll be able to do that. You'll evangelize. Thank you for watching. We'll see you in the morning at 10 a.m. if you're not working. Love you. Bye.